on the Big Free FM, CBS. I'm in Las Vegas, Nevada, and sitting across from me at the Vintage Dude Studio is Mike Godot, who's crawling on the floor trying to find your pen.
Yeah.
You dropped the pen on the floor? Yeah.
A Sharpie into my lap.
And yes, that's Godot has now said a lot more than he said all day yesterday. I dropped a Sharpie into my lap. You said nothing to Dee Snyder.
I did a little bit.
What'd you say?
I don't remember. A little bit.
And you also said, how can this be? You said we got not one email about
Dee Snyder. Nobody wrote about Dee Snyder.
Nobody
Everybody
wrote
was perfectly
thing.
Happy. They were very comfortable with him.
That's
they enjoyed
one way to
the
look
time.
At it. Did anyone listen? Was
Nobody
anyone
complained.
Listening?
Nobody complained.
Okay. So that's what we're going for, the radio show. Nobody complaining. 866-570-PEN, 7366. No phone calls. No complaints. We're doing great, Godot.
It's
we're
perfect
doing,
day.
We're rocking along. 866-570-PEN, 7366. PennRadio@gmail.com. PennRadio.com. You know, Paul McCartney, I do not want to kick a man when he's down, especially if I only had one leg. But Paul McCartney's going through a divorce from his wife, Heather Mills, Gimpy. And they're having a very, very messy divorce. Very messy divorce. And Heather is parading out all sorts of...
She's accused of releasing this information, you know, secretly. It's against the law in England to release this information.
Yeah, you can't release that. That should be kept private. That she never responded, never declined sexual intimacy with the petitioner.
Never.
Save on one occasion in their 7-year relationship because the respondent was physically exhausted and she realized it was Paul McCartney crawling into bed with her. She, you know, that's the reason. It is denied the respondent damage to the petitioner's life, spent significant periods of time apart from the petitioner. The respondent was fully committed wife who sacrificed many of her own projects beyond that which a spouse could reasonably be expected to do.
I think it's very telling that it says beyond which a spouse can reasonably be expected to do.
Yeah.
She's not committed. Clearly right there.
At all.
At all.
You would do anything for your wife,
I
right?
would do anything.
Yeah, absolutely. So it should say, not what Godot would do. You would do anything for Teresa, right?
Yes, of course.
You'd quack like a duck.
I often quack like
and
a duck
when you're
my
too,
wife.
When you were too tired, you'd still fulfill her sexually,
sure.
Even if exhausted.
It's usually the other way around, but yeah.
And on one occasion in Los Angeles, in or about the end of October or the beginning of November 2002, in the presence of others, the petitioner, who was drunk, loudly pointed out that the respondent was in a bad mood.
Okay.
The respondent was unhappy because hostile comments had been made about her on the Barbara Walters show. When they got back, they began to argue. The petitioner grabbed the respondent by the neck and pushed her over a coffee table. He then went outside in his drunken state. He fell down a hill, cutting his arm, which remains scarred to this day. A whole list of things. There's also this weird one that he wouldn't let her buy an antique bedpan. I mean, if you have $1 billion in cash on your person, which from what I've read is what Paul McCartney has all the time, he has a wad with $1 billion in cash in the pocket of his jeans right next to his marijuana and stuff. He wouldn't let her buy an antique bedpan, and therefore she had to crawl to the bathroom in the night. Now, I can understand maybe not wanting your attractive young wife to use a bedpan. Is that?
Yeah, I mean, I can.
What I'm saying is, it would be fine with me, but I'm saying I can understand someone like Patrick wouldn't like that, right? You wouldn't like your wife using a bedpan in the bed next to you. No, Patrick says no. So there are people who would be bothered by that. But then, if she has one leg, Patrick, does that mitigate? That doesn't mitigate. If your wife had no legs, still no bedpan in the pan, right? In the bed. Right, yeah, his mom has one leg, and when she's in bed with Patrick, she has to get out and walk to use. Is that what you just said? We won't go into this, Patrick. But 866-570-PEN-7366. I'm going to have you call in a moment.
And file your complaint with Mr. McCartney.
I want to know, because my complaint with Mr. McCartney, what I'm really surprised about on this whole list of complaints that Heather Mills has about Paul McCartney, she doesn't ever once list his atrocious grammar in Live and Let Die. In this ever-changing world, if this ever-changing world in which we live in. She doesn't even mention that there's two extra ends there, even though she was ready to do her wifely duties all but once when she was too tired. She was exhausted, which Michael Godeau would not put those limits on. Does Teresa listen to this show?
No.
No, because I'd love her to listen and test.
She does, yeah.
Yeah, she might test you.
She would. It's Friday. Both the kids are in school. She could be listening to me.
Yeah, so she might listen to. Well, why? The kids aren't in school like on Thursday?
Well, Thursday, no. My daughter's in preschool, so she only goes Monday, Wednesday, Friday.
Okay, so Monday, Wednesday, and Friday she listens. But here's the part of the article that y'all are going to be interested in. This is what I want to talk to you about. Lamont, he's the lawyer, right? Is that the lawyer who Lamont is? Yeah. Lamont said that almost all couples are eager. Lamont said that almost all couples are eager to keep their disputes out of the public eye. That's the part of this we're arguing about. We think that the listeners to the Ben Gillette Show with Michael Godeau might be eager to keep their to move their disputes into the public eye. What I want to know, and you can call in now, 866-570-PEN 7366, is what is the worst story you've told about an ex? What is the worst story that you've told about an ex? What story do you have in your back pocket? I mean, is it not buying an antique bedpan and having to crawl to the toilet? Or is it wine glass stabbing or drunk? Or is it, you know, refusing spousely duties? What is the worst story you tell? Because, you know, my favorite shows are the Ben Gillette Show. And, you know, I've been here for most of them. My favorite shows are the ones where people tell stories. And I think that these kind of stories can be good. So if you've got a good story that you tell. Now, I might ask you on the air if it's true or not, but for the call, that doesn't matter. Patrick is not going to bust you on whether it's true or not, but there must be someone you've broken up with that you dislike, that you have a standard story that you tell. Please call us up, 866-570-PEN, 7366. And maybe this will call, that's also penradio@gmail.com, pen has two N's, penradio.com. That also might lead to some callbacks, like maybe you have a girlfriend that vomited on a monkey at an animal park, or maybe you had a wife who slept with a 13-year-old boy that she was in charge of babysitting, or there might be several things like that. We're ready for any of those calls you have about things. While we're waiting for the, what's the worst story you ever told about an ex?
I'm not going to do that on the radio. You know, my first and last name are here and available. Well, I will point out that Paul McCartney has really won this battle because McCartney, here's one from another newspaper. McCartney pays tribute to Linda with a calendar.
Oh,
if you really want to piss off your ex, put out a calendar of the girl you were married to before her.
Now, you're in a very awkward position because you married your ex-wife.
I did, yes.
Yes. So all the stories you have about your ex-wife are also
stories about
your present wife. Did you, I mean, you don't have to tell the specifics, but and Teresa will understand. I know Teresa. She's a friend of mine. Who knows her better, me or you? She lies to you because you're her husband. I know her more honestly. I think she would be able to take this. Did you tell bad stories about her during the divorce?
I don't think I did.
During the time you were apart?
I didn't. I don't do a lot of that.
I'm not a big one for telling stories about... most of the stories that I tell about exes are about me screwing up afterwards. You know, one of my favorite moments in a relationship... You know,
that could be the reason I don't have bad stories about her. Could have been me.
But the story that I told most about a girlfriend that I had in New York that I was living with for a while was that I was out with a bunch of her friends who were models, and they were three friends, and we were all talking. A bunch of my friends and her friends were all sitting around talking, and one of the women at the table began crying uncontrollably while I was talking about something. And I said a sentence that I think sums up my whole life, which... I don't know what happened, but I know it was my fault. And she was very upset. My girlfriend was very upset that I couldn't remember what I might have said that would make her cry. It seemed obvious to everyone at the table what I was talking about. I was talking about something about Russian roulette and Martin Scorsese and blowing the back of my brain off, and someone being a fool in Hollywood. And something in that whole thing of violence and self-destruction and hatred made her friend cry. I don't know whether it was if she was dating the guy who was talking about blowing his brains out or what. But the fact that I didn't know, that I only was able to say, I don't know what happened, but I know it was my fault, is what really troubled her. So I want to get to some really good stories that you tell about your ex. Now's your chance to tell them on the radio. I won't ask your last name, but, you know, you're welcome to give it. if you want to really let the person know. Let's talk to Vinny. What's up, Vinny?
Hey, Ken, what's going on?
We're just doing a show, man. What's up?
Not too much. I don't have so much of a story that I told about an ex-girlfriend, but she's a pretty horrible person. So after we broke up, no, horrible stories. That's a whole different segment.
Okay.
But she sent me naked pictures of her on my phone. So every person I met for like the next few
years. Wait, she sent you naked pictures of her on the phone after you broke up? Like,
oh,
this is what
we
you're missing?
Together.
Oh, why are you okay? I thought it was much cooler. That is so cool to just go, hey, do you miss this, Vinny? How about these, Vinny? You miss these, Vinny? But I guess you didn't do that. She sent me while you were going out naked pictures. And what did you do?
I pretty much showed them to every person I met for the next 2 years.
Was she attractive naked?
She was extremely attractive. Pretty much the best-looking girl I've ever been with.
But why is that? So, why is that a bad thing to do to her then? Isn't that just kind of a kind of advertising?
Well, it's not so much that it's a bad thing, but I know she would be upset.
Okay, that's what matters. It's very important to understand your exes well enough to know what would really, really hurt them.
Absolutely.
And that's what Vinny's done. And you know, you have any of those pictures left? Penradio@gmail.com. Penradio@gmail.com. Because think of how much she would hate it if Penn Jillette and Michael Goudeau were oogling her naked body. She would really loathe that. Are you willing to help her out?
I would absolutely love to do that, but my phone, I dropped it in a puddle and it's broken.
So that's the only place you had those pictures?
You know what? One time, I emailed it to myself one time like a year and a half ago. I don't know if I still have it. Maybe I do.
Okay, well, you check it out and send it to us. That's Vinny with nude pictures of his ex-wife. Thank
girlfriend.
You so much, Vinny. Thank you. Was it his girlfriend?
I think it was his girlfriend.
Yeah, I don't make that separation that much. I think a lot of people really do. It's huge to them, but not to me. Let's talk to Annie. Hey, Annie, this is Penn. What's the worst story you tell about an ex?
Hi, Penn. Love your show. It's my ex-husband, who I had been married to 2.5 years. I was starting to suspect that 11 o'clock at night was not his usual working hours. It was a 9-to-5 job. So I started hunting around on his Macintosh. Yeah, hacked into it and found that he had been a member for 2 years of our marriage to an S&M website, meeting other adults for S&M activity. And there was a picture of him.
Did he ever invite you?
See, that's probably it. At least ask, you know?
I know. I mean, that wasn't a joke question. I was serious. Why did he go to that website instead of at least mentioning it to you?
Or he didn't just go to the website. He had been having, let me just tell you what I found and what I did with it, and then if you want more information, I'll give that to you.
Right now, Andy, you know I'm going to want more information.
Yeah,
but
you are.
You can just tell us this right now. Get the story out of the way first.
All right, this story. And let me spill my guts. I hacked into his Mac, and I'm a PC person, so, you know, that was painful in itself. So I found his user ID and his password and everything and got in, found out that he had been having affairs for the last 2 years with men and women, found a picture of him on his profile, naked, recognized the scar, know it was him, and everybody in his family knows about that scar. He was standing there naked with nipple clips and a leather helmet on covering his face. Downloaded the picture, sent it to his dad, his mom, everyone he's ever known, all of his chess club buddies. He was the head of
his chess club buddies.
Yeah,
his chess club buddies.
And I said, "Is this the man you want teaching your children how to play chess?" I also sent the web link to. I almost said his name. I also sent the web link to my ex at his place of business, so he clicked on it. Network administrator, and I know that if you work for someone, you sign, or you at least agree to not to visit pornographic sites or any questionable sites when you're at work. He clicked on the link, and right there they had proof that he visited even just once pornographic sites on his work computer. He lost his job. He's living in England.
He lost his job. He lost his chess club.
He lost his chess club.
And his dad saw these pictures?
His dad, his sister, his everyone he's ever known that I had.
Annie, if you and I ever cross paths and we ever hang out a little bit, there's one thing, Annie. If I ever start to do anything that even slightly pisses you off, tell me right away and I'll fix it.
I promise. You know what? Communication is the key.
Okay.
You know? Penn, one last thing. Penn, you are so hot.
Oh, thank you so much, Annie. Thank you. Okay. And you know what? Just so you know, I have an identifiable scar, too.
Penn, I know. Okay, love you guys.
Thank you so much. Man, oh, that's scary. That's terrifying. You know what the scariest part of that is to me? The scariest part of that is to me that she hacked into his Mac. You know, people reading over my shoulder, my computer, it makes me insane.
It makes you insane.
You know, I've screamed at Jack for it. I've yelled at Patrick for it. I just think that what's on your computer is really absolutely you. And I used to have this thing that I carried around with me, just a file. That when someone was reading over my shoulder in the airplane, I would open up. That would just be a letter that I was working on that said, it was to my shrink, that said, you know, ever since Nam, I've been traumatized. If someone's reading over my shoulder, ever since that POW note, I've been flipping out and knifing them and beating them senseless, and I'm trying to get over that. But if I ever catch anyone reading anything that I'm writing, I've been tempted to flip out. And I would put that up on my screen. It never worked. I don't want to tell the story like you'd normally tell on the radio, like, and this guy was looking over my shoulder, and then he looked away and looked out the window for the whole rest of the time. But I did that for a while. It was pretty cool. We got. I'll tell you, we have never had a subject like this. The phones are going crazy. I do want to mention a local thing because you know Eric Seidel. You know Eric Seidel,
yeah, sure.
Fabulous poker player, and most people know him from Rounders, where they watch him lose on TV. And it's funny because I've known Eric Seidel a while now. My wife's very good friends with him. And I never see Eric Seidel lose. That's why it was so important to show him losing there. He's a great, great, great poker player. And he was talking to my wife this morning, and he said, I guess this is probably an email or a chat, and he pointed out that we have this representative, Gibbons, who's, is he representative? Is that right? Congressman Gibbons, and he's in big trouble because he may have harassed a woman while walking her to the car. There's he said, she said here, and that he says he walked a drunk woman to her car and she fell and he helped her up. She says she was dead drunk. He was walking her to her car, her truck actually, walking her to her truck, and he molested her as he was helping her up. Now, the part of this that isn't mentioned nearly enough, and Eric Seidel points out, is that both of them admit that he was walking a woman who couldn't walk to her truck so she could drive and try to kill Penn Jillette on the road. I'm so frightened by drunk drivers. I'm terrified by them. But we're telling stories, the worst story you tell about your ex. Not the worst thing they tell about you, not the worst thing they ever did, but the worst story you tell about your ex. 866-570-PEN, that's 7366, penradio@gmail.com, penradio.com. Yeah, this is Penn Jillette on the Free FM, CBS FM. 866-570-PEN is the phone number, 7366. PennRadio@gmail.com, PennRadio.com. You mentioned you were reading over more of the stuff that Heather's saying about Paul.
It's appalling. You know, I don't want to date Heather. I'm pretty clear on that at this point. not to mention that my wife would be unhappy about that, but Heather is just really rotten. Throughout the marriage, the petitioner refused to allow the respondent to use his beautiful spare office in New York on the floor beneath their apartment. Divorce him. Beautiful, beautiful spare office. You think she typed this herself?
I want to also say, we got no one cares because we got no no emails at all about Dee Snider. But Saturday night at the Hard Rock at 11:30, I am going to officiate the renewal of Dee Snider and his wife's vows.
Congratulations.
In a goth ceremony. Because, you know, when you think goth, you think Penn Jillette. So I'm going to be there being very, very goth. For that night, I'll try to be really depressed. And I'm going to try to get really skinny. You should be skinny to be goth. So I'm going to try to lose 140 pounds by Saturday night. We're taking calls on the worst story you tell about an ex. I guess I don't want to use the word ex-lover, but ex-wife, ex-girlfriend, ex-boyfriend.
Ex.
And we've had some go about an ex. That's all you got to say. The worst story you tell about an ex. We don't care if it's true. We just want to hear it. Let's talk to Greg. What's up, Greg?
Hey, Mr. Penn. How are you?
Never been better, boss. How are you doing?
Okay, boss. How's that new baby? Bringing it back for warranty work before the warranty's
no,
over?
No, he's great. He is. However, he is 4 months old and 25 pounds. He is the largest baby in Vegas, but very healthy and developmentally doing great. So, thank you so much for asking. What story do you tell there, Greg?
Okay, I had this lovely ex who actually was very cute, good-looking girl, but she drank heavily.
Mm-hmm.
One night in the stupor, she tells me, "Oh yeah, when I was married, my ex may have taken some videos of me."
Uh-huh.
From that microsecond on, every time she was out of the house, I was going through the house like Kojak. I watched videotapes. She said it was on a VCR. I watched baptisms, weddings, Dennis Connors, America Cup, football games. I couldn't find the videotape for like 3-4 weeks. It was like a dog on a search. Finally, I find the tape in the bedroom dresser.
That would be the first place to look. That is the first place.
Because she had young kids, too. She had it right in the dresser next to the bed.
Okay.
The minute I found it, flipped it, I'm like, bingo, here it is, made a copy. To this day, I keep my copy, and whenever my buddies are over, we're having beers, guess who we throw in the VCR?
Do your buddies know her?
A couple of them have met her. I still see her. We're still F friends, if you understand.
Yeah, sure.
But a beautiful girl, but just a heavy drinking problem.
Heavy drinking problem. Okay, thanks so much, Greg. Thank you. You know, everybody seems to have, I have photos, you know, I have digital photos of that are sexual in nature, but I don't see them as bad things. I see them as good things. You know, some of the pictures that I have are them looking fabulous and great. Do you have pictures of exes?
I don't.
I'm still trying to back into a corner.
You are trying.
Now that it's
it ain't going to work.
And your wife listened to the...
it'll be a whole weekend of hell. No, I don't have any pictures of any exes.
You don't have any pictures?
I don't.
You don't even remember their names.
I purged that.
No, when I got married,
that was the end of it. I threw them out.
You just wiped the whole disc.
I'm not an idiot.
Wiped the whole disc. We had a lot of people that's their idea of a way to get to people is to have pictures of them. I don't think it's a bad thing, you know. Naked pictures of someone seem to me to be just terrific, but I guess they're used as kind of blackmail. I mean, what am I saying? I guess they're used. I know they're used, and I understand it, but I just kind of don't understand it. You know what I'm saying? Let's talk to Dan. What's up, Dan?
Hey, Pat, Mike. Guys, thanks for having me on.
Yeah, what's the worst story you tell about an ex there, Dan?
Okay, I do something pretty terrible. I have an ex-girlfriend who was a bulimic, and she ended up being really terrible to me toward the breakup. And then after we broke up, I'm an amateur stand-up comic, so I'd go on stage and do jokes about her bulimia.
Uh-huh.
And I had this one joke. I used to close with it. I talk about how after we broke up, I took a shower, and I was staring at my naked body. And I was just disgusted, and I thought no one would ever want to be with me again. And I wanted to throw up because I was so disgusted, and I couldn't. But I wish that I did, because just for a moment, would it tasted like her kiss.
Oh, man! Man! That is just brutal! That is just, and you had a whole hunk in your show that you did?
Yeah, I do this whole thing about her and her eating disorder. It's so terrible, and I feel terrible about it, but at the same time, it feels so good to get back at it.
I guess it does. Man, that's a heavy joke. Thank you so much, Dan. That's a heavy joke. That's a heavy, unpleasant, like, you know, Karen Carpenter kind of joke. You know, the bulimia jokes, you're supposed to have a lot of compassion for that. You know, George Carlin has a whole hunk about not having compassion for anorexia and bulimia. So, I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I don't think I've had any experience with that. I've had friends who've had problems with that, you know, and people that I know, but never someone I've been really close to that had that problem. You ever been around that problem?
You know what? I dated a girl, and this was a very, very long time ago, to point out. that
very old. After, Teresa was,
you know,
like,
we went out
like,
for a very short time.
It was like
and
the
then,
40s. It was like the 40s.
1943. Uh-huh. And we dated for a short time, and then quit going out for, you know, I had moved or something like that. It was back when I was traveling a lot. And, you know, I came back at one point. I was back in the town where this girl lived, and she called me up and said, you know, I'm really sorry about all the bad things that happened during our relationship. I was bulimic, and I was really a mess, and I was really screwed up, and I wish you'd go out with me again. I'm really, really sorry. And I had no idea. I didn't think things were bad or things had gone wrong. I had just moved away.
I've had that very similar thing happen with women that I used to date long ago coming up and going, man, I was so awful when we were, and I was just going, you were great.
Yeah.
It was just great. I mean, there's this kind of, we've got to live in a culture of confession. You know, there's a lot of things, And I guess this is maybe the worst thing you can say about me. There's a lot of things that people have apologized to me for that I don't remember. You know, people will say, you know, last week we were out with a bunch of friends and I said that horrible thing to you, and I go, what horrible thing? And they'll go, you know, it was just really awful, it was really mean, and I go, oh, I don't remember that.
See, they think you're being really kind. Oh, you're so nice about that, man. You're a great guy. Thanks. No, I really don't remember. No. I know I insulted you, and it's great that you're forgiving me like that. I don't remember.
I don't listen to you. I don't listen to you at all. Let's talk to Scott. Hey, Scott, this is Penn and Michael Goudeau. What's the worst thing you, what's the worst story you tell about an ex?
Oh, the worst thing, back in 1986, I was stationed at Fort Hood, Texas.
Uh-huh.
We got deployed down to Panama. Went down there searching for Noriega the first time.
Okay. playing and rock and roll music for him? Were you playing rock and roll for him?
No, they didn't let us do that.
Okay.
So, but, yeah, when we came back a week early.
Mm-hmm.
And I lived in a big old trailer park. And it wasn't really the fanciest trailer parks, as most aren't.
Uh-huh.
But I lived right off post. I came home. The lights were on, I noticed that. She didn't know I was coming home because there's no way to call her.
Uh-huh.
I looked through and the lights are on. Music's going. There's two guys in there running around naked. And she's laying on the couch. Whatever they want to do, they were doing to her. I couldn't believe it. And this is, I mean, the absolute truth. I was so mad. I didn't know what to do. I just left. And I got in a cab, went to the bar down the street. They had a few strip bars, as they are, all around Army bases.
Yeah, that happened.
Sat there half night, you know, half the night drinking Long Island iced teas, got halfway hammered. Went to the cab driver on the way back, and I said, you know what? Figure I'd go out and find me a nice lady of the evening. And I told him, what's the best place to go, you know, where I can pick up a nice, clean lady and that, you know? And sure as anything, took me right to the Big Oaks Trailer Park. Parked around the corner and pointed out my trailer. He said, go to that one. Her husband is gone.
Wow.
And they all thought I was gone.
Wow.
Yep. And I tell everybody, I'm like, you know what? Because I hear stories about people, their wife's cheating on them. I said, let me tell you about this. So she was actually earning money while I was gone all the
now,
time.
Now, this is not a friend of a friend story. This is you.
This is me.
This is you. So people hearing it on the radio, it's a friend of a friend. But to you, this is a first-person story. Unbelievable. And did you confront her?
Yeah, actually, I did. About 2 days later.
I mean, your cap was right there.
Exactly. I went to a friend's house and stayed overnight there for about 2 days. I finally got the nerve and went there during the day. And she was laying there, and she didn't know I came home early. And I said, well, I came home the other night, and I was watching you. And she really didn't have much to say about it.
And you divorced her later?
Oh yeah, definitely.
Wow.
Definitely.
That's
and yep, to this day I tell everybody who's in the military, I say, you know what? Whatever you do, don't get married.
That's the advice.
I said, wait till you're out, that way you can keep an eye on her and do what you have to do.
Oh my goodness gracious. Okay, thanks so much, man. Thank you so much.
All right.
Scott.
All right, bro, later.
That has that real kind of gothic turn at the end. That's a good story. I mean, his story is, I mean, not that it's a good thing that it happened to him, but it's a well structured story. That's like a, you know, it's like a little one of those good natured Twilight Zones they used to do night galleries. Remember they used to do the night galleries?
I thought it was gonna get to the point where he had killed them. You know what I mean? It seemed like it was gonna go.
For a moment I was scared. I was drinking the Long Island iced teas.
Calling from prison and
yeah.
Don't ever.
I've got one phone call. I'm in prison. I got one phone call. I'm going to call 866-570-PEN and tell this story on the air. PennRadio@gmail.com, PennRadio.com. Penn Jillette and Michael Goudeau, what's the worst story you tell about an ex? Doesn't have to be true. We'll be back. Yeah, this is Penn Jillette here in Las Vegas, Nevada on the Free FM. 866-570-PEN. That's 7366. Sitting with Michael Goodell. You know, the McCartney divorce is raging. And Heather is saying really bad stuff about Paul. And it's got me thinking that we should have people call in and tell us the worst story that they tell about an ex. And there's something interesting about this. We've had, I believe, one woman call so far, and she said her story about how bad her ex was about how she how she sent pictures of him from an SM site to his whole family and got him fired. So the story was a little bit differently skewed than what, I mean, the guy's worst story was that his wife was a prostitute, and he didn't know it, and he was in Panama chasing Noriega. And that story is about her, and if you think prostitution is bad, or, you know, they were in a committed relationship, but they clearly were, that's a bad story. His revenge was 2 days later he confronted her, right?
Yes.
Whereas Annie, who called in, she sent pictures to everybody. Here's another one that kind of says it. Now, I'm not saying that women are more vindictive than men, because we don't have a, it's a self-selected sample. It's very skewed. There's no information here. But this is the second thing we've had from women. My ex got this dog. I hate it. It was dark, and I stepped in dog poo. He didn't even offer to clean my shoes. So I cleaned my shoes with his toothbrush and with his 8-year-old son's toothbrush, too. And I never told him. I have zero regrets. I never do stuff like that, but I had had enough. Love the show, Kathy. Now, the assignment that was given to the listeners was the worst story you tell about your ex. But what we got out of the
going to win this one
out of the two women, we got out of the two women were stories of their revenge. Now, I'm not saying that this is the way women are, but it is frightening. It's a very, very frightening thing. Let's talk to, well, we have, I have another woman's name up here on the board, so we'll talk to Jenny. What's up, Jenny?
Hey guys.
How you doing?
I'm all right. How you doing?
Good. What's the worst story you tell about your ex?
Actually, this story, actually, my friends requested I tell this in groups just because it's so funny.
Oh, good. Well, consider us your friends, Jenny, and consider that we ask you to tell it, okay?
Okay. This is going on 2 years ago. Actually, 2-year anniversary will be in about 2 weeks.
Oh, boy, you keep track of this stuff.
Yeah. I still have the plane ticket stub from where I left my ex-fiancé.
Oh, good, good.
And this is what happened. My ex-fiancé, when I was with him, was in the Army.
Uh-huh.
Before he joined the Army, he was a really big pothead.
Now, is there a trailer park involved in the story?
No.
Okay. I just want to be sure. It would be so cool.
Man, that
would
be a good story. It would
be so cool if we happened to get the other side of that one. But go on.
So we had some friends over one evening,
mm-hmm.
and they had brought some bud with them,
mm-hmm.
and he was sulking because he couldn't partake.
Why couldn't he partake?
Because he was in the Army and they do drug testing and stuff.
Okay, I see.
Yeah. So he figured it would be a better idea to drink an entire bottle of Southern Comfort and then half a bottle of some kind of cheap vodka.
Now, you know what? I don't know a lot about liquor, but that's an enormous amount.
Yes.
Enormous amount.
It,
okay.
It really should have killed him.
Okay, I see. Because yeah, I know that those are, that's very powerful liquor, and that's a very large amount. Go on.
Yeah. He drank all of it within the space of about 2.5 hours.
Okay.
And, you know, he got kind of stupid for a while, and then he passed out.
Uh-huh.
At which point, I myself and my friends were just really embarrassed about the whole thing.
Yeah, I can imagine.
They went home. I left him passed out in the living room and locked myself in the bedroom because there was no way he was going to sleep in the bed.
I see. I understand that, yeah.
Well, about 5 o'clock in the morning, I start hearing movement in the living room.
Uh-huh.
And so I go out and check on him just to make sure he's still breathing. And he had lost control of all bodily functions, all of them.
Oh, dear.
All over the living room.
Oh, dear.
And was hallucinating that he was on some mission for the military in the mountains, and he needed a phone.
Isn't this the scene with Martin Sheen in the beginning of Apocalypse Now?
I don't know. But
Saigon?
I immediately got on the phone to my mom, and she bought me a plane ticket, and I was at home with, you know, what I could fit into a small suitcase within 2 days.
Wow.
Yeah, and I still tell that story because he, to this day, doesn't understand what the big deal was.
Well, so you think you made the right choice, right, Jenny?
I'm pretty sure I did.
Thanks so much. Thanks. Right. Thanks. Thanks. Thanks, Jenny. You know, I think that she tells that story. I bet when she tells that story and she's not on the radio, I bet that she lost all control. It goes into a long detail thing and gets perhaps a little bit more raucous and wild there. I want to say that just for those of you who jumped to conclusions about women, that was a story that absolutely followed everything we said. That was a story about her ex. It doesn't involve. So I went back and took all that he'd lost control of, put it in a package, and sent it to his mother. You know, there's not that part of it that Annie
there's
is
not the stuck his 8-year-old son's toothbrush in dog poop.
Yeah, I know the 8-year-old son. Isn't that kind of assault? I mean, you get way sick from that, couldn't you?
Yeah.
I mean, not knowing much about dogs or medicine, I think you get way sick. Let's talk to Rick. How you doing, Rick?
Oh, it's Nick.
Oh, say?
Nick, like Nicole. Nick.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry, Nick.
Oh, no, that's okay.
How are you? How are you, Nick?
Oh, I'm good. How are you?
Very well. I want to say that Patrick did write up Nick, but my eyesight, when I glanced over, it looked like it was Rick, so forgive me. My fault.
Oh, not a problem. I went out of town. I was with a guy for 4.5 years, mm-hmm. and I went out of town. Mm-hmm. And when I got back 5 days later, he was married to somebody that he met the day that I left.
Wow.
Wow. Yeah.
Wow. Married?
Oh, yeah, married, yeah.
And did you leave on bad terms?
Oh, yeah. Well, I smacked him, and then I had sex with his best friend.
No, I meant... No, what I meant was, Nick, I understand the confusion.
Oh,
the
when
question.
I went out of town? Oh, no.
No.
It was like a love story when I went out of town. I love you. I'm going to miss you so much. Have a great time. Call me every day.
And then how did he break it? Did he break it on the phone, or you just came back?
No, I was out to dinner with some friends, and him and his wife walked into the restaurant.
Oh, I mean, you were just dating. You weren't, like, living together or anything.
No, we were getting married.
Oh, it was your fiancé?
Yeah.
And he married someone else when you were gone for 5 days?
Yeah.
Wow. And what, did you get, like, a big engagement ring or anything?
Oh, yeah, I sold it. I pawned it.
Well, that's good. That's good. And then you had, what damage did you do to him? You had sex with his best friend and did what else?
And I smacked him in front of all of his friends.
Oh, you smacked him. And in front of his new wife?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. She was standing right next to him.
Open-handed or closed-handed?
Oh, it was open-handed.
Okay, just, you know, these are maybe not the questions everybody would ask, but I want to get the clear picture here. And did it all turn out better off? Are you happier now, Nick?
Oh, my God, I'm so much happier.
Oh, good. 4.5 years, how long are we going out with him?
4.5 years.
4.5 years you're going out with him, and 5 days you're gone and he marries someone else. Man, that is nutty. That is just nutty. Well, thanks so much. Thanks so much, Nick. Now, see, that's another. Now we've had women that balance this thing off.
All right.
I think that's a proper story. I mean, although the hitting and the sleep with the best friend I have no problem with, but the hitting. Let's talk to, now this is Rick. Forgive me, Rick, for calling the woman Rick, when her name was Nick, but now you're Rick. Hello, Rick.
Hi, Pang.
How you doing?
Pretty good. Short story.
Sure.
I was living with a woman at the time. This was a long time ago. She ended up cheating on me like they mostly do.
Okay.
So I went home, I packed up her stuff, and I shot her hamster.
You shot her hamster?
Well, you know, killing a pet, that usually gets a good response.
How did it play?
I'm sorry?
How did it play? What kind of response did it get?
She was pretty speechless. Pretty speechless.
But I mean,
she didn't have any problem telling other people because, you know, years later I would have people coming up to me and they say, "Hey, you're Rick, you know, blank blank."
Yeah.
Aren't you the guy who shot that hamster from that girl?
Now, what I'm interested about here is what I love
that
about
this.
That
sounds just like Jonesy. Are we sure this isn't Jonesy?
No, this is Rick. You are Jonesy, right? You sound like the guy who does the music for the show. Are you from Buffalo, New York?
No, I'm not.
Okay. But let me just, the thing that's bothering me is there's a lot of ways to kill a hamster. I mean, I can think of five. But how did, why did you shoot him?
Because it was a pellet gun, and it was just, you know, it was there. I didn't want to have to deal with the pellet, with the hamster, and I never liked the hamster.
So you just...
disposable pet to begin with.
And you actually, now you didn't execute him in front of your girlfriend, right?
No, she hadn't gotten home yet.
So she came home and found a note, the pellet gun, and the hamster's head in her bed?
Well, I never took the hamster out of the little habit trail thing.
Yeah.
So when she picked up all of her stuff, I assume she just thought the hamster was sleeping.
Yeah.
So, you know, she took that habit trail and left, and you know, I never heard from her again.
But she did tell the story to a lot of people.
About, he told the story. I tell the story, too.
About Psycho Rick, who shot the hamster. She was very upset about it, is that right?
I would imagine so.
So the whole story worked out kind of the way both of you wanted. You got to upset her very much, and then she got a great story about Crazy Rick. I guess everybody kind of worked out okay for her, except the hamster.
Didn't have to care of the hamster anymore.
The hamster, who's kind of going, what the hell did I do, goddamn you? Thanks so much.
Tiny blindfold and a cigarette.
The last request on him. Let's talk to...
I have a Cheeto?
Now, see, that's also... That was a story. That was a story, just like the women's story. The women's story about, you know, that was about him mostly.
Yeah.
It wasn't sure about someone else, and he tried to spin it. But so we haven't got. If I said anything that implied some sort of gender skewing on this, it's been fixed up here. Let's talk to Marissa. Hey, Marissa, we're toward the end of the show, but what's up?
Hi, Ben. Sorry, I'm a little nervous. I was going out with a guy for about 2 years, and towards the end of our relationship, I was getting ready to break up with him. The day before I was planning on breaking up with him, we found out that he had a brain tumor. He had cancer. I was with him, you know, the entire time. I was in the hospital the entire time with him, and, you know, there was a huge snowstorm. I went through the snow to go see him and everything. And I just found out yesterday that he is spreading a rumor that I broke up with him because he had cancer.
Oh, okay. So you were planning the breakup before that. And when he was in the hospital, you hung with him.
I did.
So the story about
him... And finally, when he was in remission, I got up the nerve to leave him. And now he's spreading a rumor that the reason I left him is because he had cancer.
And he's in remission now.
Yes, he's completely fine and healthy now.
Wow, that's a good move on his part. Because that makes him sound really, like, sensitive.
Yep, like
he's come through that. He's a survivor. And then you are just the royal bitch of all time.
Right?
That's really well done. And all he's changing there is the chronology of it just a little bit. It's a very Michael Moore move, isn't it? It's a very Michael Moore move. Well, thank you. Thanks so much, Marissa.
We're going to have to
walk home the show now. Are you really starting the music already? Boy, time flies when you're trashing an ex, doesn't it? This is Ben Gillette, Mike Godot. We're going to be back here Monday, and it frightens me, the awful truth of how sweet life can be.